Hey, folks, this is Pastor Mike, and you're listening to our Wednesday night Bible study online. We hope you enjoy this, and you can hear more of our sermons and teachings at www.visitbethelchurch.org. God bless you, and have a great day. People around the world always keep me informed on what's going on, and there was a deal that came out today. And sometimes I don't know if things are true or not, but apparently this one is. I mentioned here, I think a couple weeks ago or last week, that Joel Osteen was going to be on, you know, this talk show, Dr. Oz. And he's kind of making the circuits right now. Well, he's the rising star. I don't know if you just catch on to that. And he is, according to what's been told, he's set to have his own reality show. You know, kind of like, I guess, the Duggars or something like that. And it just kind of made me think, and we was kind of talking in the office. Actually, you know, we ought to start moving cameras into my office on like a Wednesday night before, because we have some pretty good talks in there. But anyway, that song, I'd Rather Have Jesus, makes me think about that. My beef with Joel Osteen is not his hair and his smile and his slender build and his Barbie doll wife. That's not my beef with him. My beef is his doctrine. Amen. His doctrine is corrupt. Amen. It's very corrupt.
Yes.
But he is the rising star. He is now the face of Christianity. And for him to have what he has right now. And Gary and Kay, I didn't know this, but when they came back, they brought a little thing from his church. They went to his church. They didn't attend the service, right? But they went to the Coliseum, okay, where he has church there, and they're doing baptisms, okay? And the requirement for being baptized, you have to be at least 5 years old. It's a sellout. That's what it is. Okay, whether he was a good guy at one time or not, I don't know. But to achieve that level of popularity, to achieve that level of being on top of being the rising, this and that and the other, and everybody looking at you with favor, I can tell you that if you're a preacher, there are things that you have to say that people are not going to like, and that's not what people think when they think of Joel Osteen. But he rings true in the hearts of a lot of people who don't want certain things said today. And they won't listen to preachers who say certain things. And I would rather have Jesus than I would have that. It's nice to get a compliment from someone after a service. You know, Pastor Mike, that was good. It's nice to have somebody send an email saying, Pastor, we've been watching your videos and, you know, we praise the Lord, keep standing for the truth. It's nice to have people do that. That's not why I'm doing it. And if at some point God in his word says, Mike, preach this, and I preach this, and a lot of people don't like it, I can't help it. I can't help it. I have everything to gain and nothing to lose down here by following the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
I have nothing to lose down here. Amen. And so I just praise the Lord for what he's done. I want us to have a word of prayer. I want to go just in two different directions tonight. And I've just been kind of restless all day today about the teaching tonight. And I think I'm going to try to wrap up the book of Genesis with one particular thing here. And then God just kind of blessed me this week with just some personal study, and I just kind of like to just share what's in my heart tonight. So take your Bible, turn to Genesis 15. We'll go to the Lord in prayer tonight. And I appreciate you coming, and probably been a long week for some of you, and it's nice and cold outside, and ain't a whole lot to grass mow anymore. Amen. Not a lot of grass mowing going on, and not a lot of weed trimming and yard work and things like that. So you didn't have anything better to do, just come to church. Amen. And we have some people that's out sick and some people couldn't make it tonight. And But I'm glad that you're here, and I'm glad you folks are watching, and we want to be a blessing to you. Our church wants to be a blessing to you. So everybody turn around and say, bless you. Bless you. Yeah, okay. That was mostly hearted. I won't say it's half-hearted, but it was mostly hearted. Amen. And but anyway, we thank God for you, and we're praying for you tonight. And if there's any need in your heart tonight, in your life, and in your mind, if there's any need, call upon the name of the Lord, and God will hear you. Amen. And here's the church that's going to pray for you tonight. I've had a couple things brought my way this week by way of email. Some folks, there's a woman that is reasonably sure that she's going to lose her husband to cancer, and that's a pretty tough deal. And I've even had I've had one woman in particular email me and tell me that her husband's been out of it. I don't know if she's still married to the guy, but she said her husband has been out of her life for quite a while because he turned sodomite on her. And so anyway, she said she's dealing with that. And she's dealing with a son who hates God's mad at God, and she's trying to reach him. And so anyway, I want to pray for this family and just pray that God will reach through to people. I want to pray for some families around here. I want us to lift up Joe and Dee. There's some needs there, and I want you to pray about them, okay? Serious stuff. And just pray about them and just pray for them and say, God, please help them. And I'll tell you who's been on my heart now for last month and a half, and that's Steve and Jody. And I want us to pray for them tonight and pray that God will just get a hold of them. Amen? And but they've been on my heart for a while, and well, since my dad died. And so anyway, pray for my mom and lift her up. She's going to go what they call down home, and that is down to Arkansas. She's going to go down there next week. And, you know, she's keeping herself busy. She really is. She's running around doing this and doing that, and that's all well and good. She's got a lot of life in her. It's when you slow down and stop, that's when all that stuff comes in. And she's, you know, it happens. And so just pray for her. Pray for me, too. I have my days, okay? I have my days. You pray for people that have lost somebody this year. Pray for Sterling and Gloria and others, you know. So just lift people up and pray for one another. Does anybody in here tonight need prayer? Raise your hand, okay? Okay, you just pray that somebody, pray that God will lay somebody on your heart tonight to pray for. And you lift them up and you pray for them. You pray for your needs tonight. And let's just visit with the Lord, okay? Let's visit with the Holy Spirit, all right? Pray for Lindsay and little Adeline. And just lift them up before the Lord. Heavenly Father, dear God, Lord, my heart, dear God, has just been full of some things, dear God, that I know that are needs in some people's lives. And Lord Father, not so much my life, but Lord Father, for their life. Lord, I pray for them, and I pray, dear God, that you would help them. And Lord, bless them. Give them such as what they have need of. Father, dear God, I don't know, Lord, the situations of everybody. I know, dear God, how you work. I know sometimes, God, Lord, you're just trying to get a hold of people, Lord, because they're hard-headed. And Lord, just wherever that might be the case, God, Lord, that you do it well and you break them. And Father, Lord, let them be fallen upon you and be broken, dear God. And that's better than you crushing them and grinding them to powder. And so, Father, Lord, we ask that tonight, Lord, that in and where you're dealing with people, Lord, if you're dealing with them over issues of spiritual laziness or sinfulness, God, Lord, that you would do that. They would fall and be broken on you, dear God. And you'd put the pieces back together. Lord, you wound and you bind up. And Father, Lord, for those that just might be under attack, Lord, some kind of spiritual attack on themselves or their marriage or their house, Lord, or their finances or whatever it may be, dear God, Lord, that you would just bind the devil. Lord, that you would just put him out and Lord, bring great victory to your people. And Father, we just pray, dear God, for those that are suffering loss, those, dear God, that have illnesses, and Lord Father, this lady that's thinking she's going to lose her husband, God, to cancer, and I pray, Lord, that you'd help her. This other woman, Lord, trying to reach her son to be saved. Lord, he's bitter. God, Lord's got a bitter spirit, and I pray, Lord, that you would break him of that and save him. Save her husband, dear God, if he's not too far gone. Lord Father, just help these people and hear the prayers of your people tonight as they call upon you, dear God, and they ask, dear God, please help. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you would give them that help and give them that grace. Lord, Father, satisfy our needs, dear God, that we look no other place. We be like Peter, Lord, to whom shall we go? For you have the words of eternal life. Lord, help us, dear God, as we study your word, and give us grace and give us comfort and give us peace in our hearts. Give us knowledge, dear God, that would lead us to understanding of what's going on. And Father, Lord, then give us wisdom, dear God, to help us to live their life, our life, the way we're supposed to live it. Bless us, dear God, and forgive our sins, Lord. Help us, dear God, to live for you. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, amen. Amen. First of all, take your Bible, turn to Genesis chapter 50, if you would. Genesis chapter 50. And I'm going to kind of go through this real fast, and then I'm going to move in on to something else here real fast. Genesis chapter 50, and I'm going to hold my place here in Romans chapter 8, I think it is. Yes, okay, this is where I'm going to be here in a little bit. So, all right. Anyway, Genesis chapter 50, there's been something that part about this that when God first showed it to me, it just really, really blessed my heart. And we're sort of still dealing with Joseph being a type and a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's being a picture of Jesus in that he's being the Savior who at one time was rejected and cast away by his own brethren. And now God has exalted him and lifted him up to be their Savior. And I always like to preach different themes in the Bible that are related to salvation. I don't know about you, but I just like dealing with salvation. Amen? I like to study about how people are saved and what causes them to be saved, what brings them to salvation, what keeps them saved, and all these issues, because to me there is no greater issue in our lives than how we're saved, by what are we saved, how we stay saved, and all these. There's nothing bigger than that, and everything else in the Bible will point in that direction. The Bible is the saving grace of God, and it preaches of his saving grace. That's what the gospel is all about. It's about taking you and I, who are mortals and who are worthy of death, and giving us eternal life. And just stop and think about eternal life in heaven. My mind cannot even get around that thing because it's too high and it's too great for me. And yet here this mortal sinner is going to inherit the king's place in heaven for all of eternity. Somebody say amen. That blesses my heart. And I just like to study about how people are saved. And in a lot of religious settings, even a lot of quote-unquote Christian religious settings, you'll hear people talk about, well, he's a good person, or he's done a lot of good deeds, or he's pastored such and such church for so long, or he's gone here and he's done this, or whatever. They always talk about how good a person is, and they say, well, surely he's in heaven because he was such a good person. Now, the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. And when you start measuring man's goodness up against other men's goodness, well, yeah, it looks like that there are some people that are better than others. But when you start comparing men with God, there's just no comparison. And I want to tell you something. When God gets ready to judge, he is not going to judge on your standard. He's going to judge on the standard that he himself has set. And unless you are sinlessly perfect in every way and have been forever, unless you are and have been and will continue to be that way, you cannot inherit eternal life, and you're not good enough to have heaven. Somebody say amen. Okay? And I just like to go through the Bible and just look for pictures of how God used somebody, not when they were being their best, but at times when they were being their worst. And here is Israel, and I think of Paul. Paul, we're in the part of the book of Acts where Paul's about ready to, he's going to tell his testimony about how he was saved on the Damascus Road. And that's what Paul did. He just went around telling everybody how he got saved on the Damascus Road and what God did for him. And I want to tell you something. Don't you ever forget about what God's done for you. Amen. Don't forget about your salvation experience. Don't forget about how the Holy Ghost led you to come to that place in your life where you said, all to Jesus I surrender. Amen. Don't ever forget that. Don't forget the day that you were saved. And if you can't point to the day that you got saved, maybe you need to point at today. Amen. Point at today and say, God, I don't know if I'm saved today, but God, will you save me today so that I'll know that today was the day when I met eternal life? Can I hear you say amen? And I just want you to be convinced. Listen, I don't want to leave here and leave you here by yourself. with all these screaming heathens getting the mark of the beast. Amen. I don't want to leave you here like that. Amen. I want you to go with me. Amen. Listen, there's a table prepared for us, and I know that I can't have it all. Amen. So you might as well go up there and join with me. All right. But anyway, so here is Israel, the brothers of Joseph, the brothers of Joseph. And they have taken him. They have mocked him. They have despised him. They hated his dream. You know what his dreams were? It was prophecy. It was the prophecy of what was going to be. They hated his prophecies. They tried to destroy that. They were trying to destroy the word of God. They were trying to nullify what God had put in Joseph's mind and in Joseph's heart. They were trying to nullify that. And I can tell you, because I see a lot of things, I can tell you that there's a lot of sinister Jews that to this day don't want this Bible to come to pass. They do not want it to come to pass. They'll do whatever it takes to get this Bible off the scene. They're still around. And do you know Christ died for them?
Yes.
Amen. Christ, you know how I know Christ died for them? Because he died for you too. Listen, I'm going to tell you, I was poking fun at Megan a while ago. I'm going to tell you what, Megan, just be thankful Bradley's still not a Mormon. Amen. I come in here and I said, you know, Megan, I said, out of all of Bradley's wives, you're my favorite. Did you know if he was still a Mormon, he you never know. He might have, they say, well, they don't do that anymore. Oh, yeah, they do. They do it in secret, and there's little sects of them on different places. They still have multiple marriage. Do you know, he might have just gone nuts one day and said, Megan, I'm going to talk to you about something. I got about three or four other girls in mind. Now, I know Megan well enough to know that she would have put suitcases, either hers or his, out on the front porch. Amen? That had been the end of that, okay? But anyway, I don't know where I was going. I shouldn't have gone off of that. I don't know where in the world I was going with it. Okay, I remember what it was, okay? Here's Bradley over here going around from door to door, from place to place, trying to get people to deny the Lord Jesus Christ and to deny this book and to push it aside in exchange for the Book of Mormon and the Doctrine of Covenants and Pearl of Great Price. Am I getting it right? Okay? This guy used to be an enemy of the Bible. Because he was told that, well, even though we had 54 translators work over 7 years on this thing and they did it all in public, they may not have gotten it right. But Joseph Smith, in secret, by himself, miraculously translated the whole Book of Mormon, and it's right 100% of the time. That was the deal that they were trying to get everybody to believe. And so they hated the Bible because they put something in authority over the Scriptures. And at one time, that's where he used to be. And at one time, that's where you used to be. I used to be that way in this church. Used to try to deny the Bible was right. So, see, we're on the same page here. You thought I was just really digging at you, okay? But I'm telling you, those are the people that Christ died for. When the Holy Ghost came to me and convicted me about things in my life and convicted me about this Bible, I did not come up with it on my own and say, you know what, I'm just going to strive to believe the King James Bible. And then God said, okay, now I can work with you. The Holy Ghost showed up one day and said, this is it right here. And then my white flag came out and I said, all to Jesus I surrender. And I let him have it. Amen? Okay, and that's the same case here. So watch this. Let me get to my point here and I'm going to move on. Here it is. Now Jacob has passed away, and they've taken their father, and the Egyptians embalmed him, and they had a period of mourning, and then they went to the cave of Machpelah. This is where Abraham and Sarah and Isaac and I think Rachel, and I don't remember who all's buried there, but now Jacob is going to be buried with his daddy and with his grandpa in the cave of Machpelah that was purchased from the Hittites. And so they carry his bones up there, and they have a huge, I mean, a great big, you ought to study this out. I mean, this great big, some of the Egyptians even went with them. They carried all the sons of Jacob, and as many as they could. The Bible says they left their little ones and the cattle and things like that there. But the servants, and I mean, there was just this big, massive drive over to the cave of Machpelah in the land of Canaan. And they buried them there, and they had this huge mourning there, okay? Now watch this. Now verse 15. I want you to see this. When Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us,
and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him. You know what they were thinking? They're thinking, you know what? Joseph was nice to us because daddy was still alive. Now that daddy's dead, they ain't no telling what he's going to do to us. We're probably toast right now. We probably come all the way out here just to be killed by our brother. And you know why? They still had a guilty conscience on them. They still had the guilt on them. And I want to tell you something. I lament things that I've done in my past. But and what there every now and then I just get sullen about it. Amen. But then I take it to the Holy Ghost. I take it to God and say, God, you take this off of me, and I'll just start reading scripture, and all of a sudden, man, it's gone. Because one thing I like about this Bible, it is a lifter and an easer of burdens. Amen. Amen. You've got burdens on your heart. Listen, it does good to talk to somebody about it every now and then. Amen. You just need to talk to somebody about it. But if you ain't got nobody else to talk to, you've always got Jesus Christ to tell your problems to. I went to the doctor several years ago. I was having some pain in my... they thought maybe I had an ulcer or something like that. And they diagnosed it as diverticulitis. Okay? It's little inflammations here in your... I'm going to tell you what, that hurts. When that flares up, that hurts. Okay? So I was seeing a doctor about it, and he said, well, I see it a lot in guys in your profession. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, everybody comes to you and gives you all their problems. And he said, you don't have nobody else to talk to. And I went, hang on. And I started singing. And just a little talk with Jesus makes it right. And he kind of laughed and shook his head. You know, okay, I get it. Oh, I hope you do, because that's who I've got. Amen. I've got the Lord Jesus to tell my problems to and to talk to. You know what? He's never said, I'm sorry, what? Amen. Okay. And so anyway, but they were still carrying guilt over what they had done. And they still didn't think that little brother Joseph was actually better than they were in his actions, in his character, in his morality. See, they were thinking that little brother Joseph, since he was of the same stock as them, that he's just waiting and biding his time, and before you know it, he's going to snap his fingers like that, and there's going to be Egyptian soldiers cutting our throats from ear to ear. That's what they were thinking. And so verse 16, and the cowards sent a messenger unto Joseph. Amen. They sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, thy father did command before he died, saying, so shall ye say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin. For they did unto thee evil. But now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. You see, I want to tell you something. Here's what we're seeing here. In all of this, we've seen the salvation of Israel. I he didn't even thought about going this direction tonight, but I think the Lord's just kind of yanking my chain here and holding me back. We're in chapter 50, and these numbers mean something.
Yeah.
The number 50 is always associated with 5, which is the number for grace. Did you know the fifth time Noah's name is mentioned, it says Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. You count them out. And then get an NIV and count them out, and you'll find out they messed it up. Yeah. Okay? How many times was Jesus pierced? 1, 2, 3, 4, and then 5 right here. He was pierced 5 times. In that 5th piercing, he was already dead, and the blood and water issued forth. And I want to tell you something. John said in 1 John chapter 5 that blood and that water and the Spirit testify together. I love that. Amen?
Amen.
The Spirit, the water, and the blood, and these three agree in one. You know what they're all saying? You're saved. Amen? Amen. They're saying that you're saved. But anyway, that's what that number 5 is. And right here in Genesis chapter 5, by the way, from the time of Christ, death and resurrection to the time of Pentecost, you know, that, in fact, that word Pentecost literally means 50 days. Okay? There were 50 of the sons of the prophets that were watching as Elijah was taken up into the clouds and Elisha was given the double portion of the Spirit of God. And I guess what I'm just trying to tell you tonight, there's a story of grace right here, but I want you to listen to this, okay? Grace is free, and I believe in that.
Amen.
Amen. I believe in the election. In fact, I've just kind of studied some things this week, and I may get into them tonight, the election and the predestination of God and all that. And I believe in all that stuff. I believe in it the way the Bible says it. I don't need John Calvin to tell me what he thinks about predestination. Amen. I don't need that. I don't need anybody else to tell me what they think about it. All I need to know is what Paul said about it. Yes. Amen. That's what I need to know, is what the Bible says about it and how we're elect according to, and all this stuff. And I believe in that stuff. But I want to tell you something. True salvation will bring true repentance.
Yes.
Anybody will tell you that all you have to do is say, I received Jesus. Did you know that to me is a first cousin of Roman Catholicism? Because Roman Catholicism says, here, receive Jesus. You eat this. Joe, they told you, you eat this and you'll be saved until the next Mass time. It's temporary, but it'll hold you until we have the next Mass. That's wicked. Amen. It's amen. Okay? They just received Jesus. And I've actually met this guy. I'm not the man's judge or anything like that. I'd like to hear what Bible he preaches out of. But this guy that's on the TV commercials around here in St. Louis, he sits there and real nice and cool looking. I want to look like that. I want to look cool. Okay? I can't get away with it. He's older than me, and you know, he just wears it better. So I don't know what it is. But he just sits there and all cool and says, now receive Jesus. Okay? I'm just telling you that when you get right with God, one of the evidences that that the Holy Ghost is in you is that you will repent. Amen. You will not say, boy, I'm glad I didn't have to repent of nothing to get saved. You will never say that. When the Holy Ghost is truly getting all over you, I want to tell you something. The guilt will bear down on your soul until you can't take it. And I want to tell you what, sins will just start flying out of your mouth. Oh, God, remember that I did in second grade. God, remember what I was in my foolishness of my youth. God, remember when I did that. God, forgive me of that one too. You just start repenting and repenting and repenting of sins. Amen. And I want to tell you something. I don't know about you, but things even now, and even after I've repented, things I've done, you know, 10, 15, 20, 30 years ago, every now and then I go back to God, please forgive me of that.
Yes. Yes.
Listen, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Because I believe as a Christian, we live in a state of godly sorrow that worketh repentance unto salvation.
Yes.
That's exactly what I believe. We never get to this place where we say, I think I made it. I can do anything I want to now. Don't you dare have that idea toward God. In fact, if you just want to show me you're not saved, show me that attitude. So the Holy Ghost is bearing down on them. And they sent a messenger and they said, our father Joseph told us that we needed to do this and we're ready to do it. And you say, well, their motives weren't right. Really? Somebody tell me, what was your motive for getting saved?
Yeah.
Well, Wayne, what was your motive for getting saved?
Didn't want to go to hell.
You didn't want to go to hell?
No. Yeah. Amen.
That's me.
Absolutely.
I still don't. I don't want to go to hell. I cannot begin to tell you how bad I don't want to go to hell. Okay? You know what their motive was? Their motive was because they were afraid of the wrath of Joseph. And if that's what it takes, then bring it on. And so they said, forgive, I pray thee now. Forgive, forgive. Now, verse 18, look at this now. Oh, his brethren also went and did what?
Fell down.
It's exactly what he said. It's what he said was going to happen. Fell down before his face, and they said, behold, we be thy servants. Now, Joseph is weeping now. You know why he's weeping? He loves his brothers. He's been waiting for years for this day. And I want to tell you something. I like verses that every now and then that you get a glimpse of the heart of Jesus Christ. And he weeps. You know why I see a lot of typology in a lot of things. And here's Jesus before the tomb of Lazarus. He's not only weeping for Lazarus. You know who he's weeping for?
Israel. Do you know they've been dead 4 days now? Okay? 4,000 years. Since the covenant went to Abraham, it's been 4,000 years up till now. You know Israel's been dead 4 days and they stink. Jesus is standing in front of their tomb and he's weeping. And he's about ready to say, come forth. Amen?
Amen.
Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you thought evil against me. But God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. You meant to have me killed. You hated my guts. You don't understand, brothers. God allowed this whole thing to happen so it could turn back around on you and save you. I'm going to throw something in here tonight. I hadn't planned on this, but this hit me. I started bawling the other night. I was looking at this. I'm studying something out of the Bible, and I looked at a word, and the word was taken. I want you to take your Bible, turn to Genesis chapter 2. I don't know if this will be as profound to you as it is to me right now, but you weren't there several weeks ago when we were down in Enola, Arkansas, and we were standing around the casket of my dad, and God had laid a message on my heart, and the message was, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. And I had taught this before, but it was there in real life. And we were just fixing to plant a seed in the ground, Bradley, of my father's body. We were going to plant that in the ground. We were going to sow in tears. And I stood there at that gravesite and I said, you know, now that I know what I know, I'll gladly put him in the ground because I know what's going to come up. But sweet. But I was studying the word taken out of the Bible. And this, the first place this is in Genesis chapter 2, verse 22. The rib which the Lord God had taken from man. And I had planned on just preaching a message on this theme, but I'm going to spoil it right now. Okay? You think about things in life that you think God has taken from you. Okay? Think about things that you think God has been taken from you. Okay? And that's really, I mean, it only took me like 0.3 seconds when I read this to start crying. You see, God had taken a rib from Adam. But he gave it back. Better than it was when he took it. Did you hear what Wayne said? Whoa, man. Amen, Wayne, because that's what he turned it into, a whoa man. Sometimes we think that's W-O-E-M-A-N. Whoa, man. But it's not. What God had taken from Adam, he transformed and he changed it. And when he gave it back to him, it was far better than what he had it. Amen? Somebody say amen to that.
Amen.
That is the nature of Almighty God. I've had the devil take some things away from me. It's just been destroyed. And I quit being mad at God over things that I've had taken from me because he's given them back a whole lot better than what I had before. You think of the rod that was in Moses' hand. Moses, what is that in thine hand? Okay, cast it to the ground. He cast it to the ground. And now that rod of Moses is the rod of God. Okay? And Moses used that rod to part the Red Sea. I mean, it's a picture of salvation is what it is. Okay? But it may take losing some things in order to gain. Can I hear you say amen?
Amen.
It just might take that.
And you just never know, instead of you being sold up and mad at God over what you think you lost, you just hang on a second. God's working. And he's taken just an old rib. And you can live without it. Did you know they can take your rib, a rib out of you, and you? I mean, it might hurt, but you can live without one. And he'll fashion that thing. And he'll bring that to you. And now God says, now it's good.
Amen.
Now it's good. Okay? And so anyway, Romans chapter 8, turn there. Whatever you thought was meant for evil, God meant it for good. I asked you all ago, what was it that got you saved? Okay? And you that might have been, you know, you're just afraid of hell. Let me ask you a question. Why would you be afraid of hell? Why would you be afraid of going to hell? Because of what you did. That's why you're afraid of going to hell. Amen?
Amen.
That's why you're afraid. Okay? And you look back at the sinfulness and the wickedness in your life. And you mourn over that. And you say, there's no way I'm fit to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. How dare I even come to church? I don't know if you've ever felt that way. How dare I even show up here? How can I show my face? Listen, it's your face that belongs here. Amen? These people that are too good for that, I'd just soon they not even show up. Amen? They'd ruin a really bad bunch here. Amen? Okay? But I'm telling you, that was the very thing that God saved you with. And he used it for his purpose and his glory. Romans chapter 8, the Bible says, let's see here. Where am I going here? Verse 28, you already know where I'm going. We all know, and we know that all things work together. How many things? All things. Even in that biggest failure that you've ever had in your life. Them pastors asked me there at Kibera in Kenya. And they said, oh, pastor, what is the secret of your success? I guess they thought I was Joel Osteen. I don't know. You know, I don't know. You know, that just kind of took me back for a minute. And I kind of perceived, you know, they thought I was just some big hotshot preacher, you know. And I looked at them and I said, guys, it was failure. It was utter catastrophe. If you're just looking for a secret, that's it right there. It's when you fail, that's when God kicks in and says, I'll do it. Amen? We know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Notice all the roles are in the past tense. He has already called you. Somebody say amen. Amen. He's already justified you. Somebody say amen. He's already glorified you. Somebody say amen. What shall we say then to these sayings? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Did you know that everything that you're holding against yourself will not be laid to your charge in God's courtroom? Whew. That's good. Amen? I like that one. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Did you know that God has a right to justify you if he wants to? It's his law, isn't it? He said, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have pardon upon whom I have pardon. God, you know what God said? I'll forgive who I want to forgive, thank you. Amen? I don't need your attitude messing it up. I don't care who you don't like. Amen? In fact, I'll forgive them just because you don't like them. And did you know that God saves every Gentile? Do you know why? Because Israel don't like them. Israel don't like the Gentiles. And God says, okay, I'll show you. I'll forgive their sin. They won't even have to keep the law. And I'll forgive their sin. Somebody say amen. Amen. Everybody just go, shh. Amen. Amen. Who is it that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Who is it? Who is he that condemneth? Stop and think about the woman caught in adultery. Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake are we killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And I guarantee you, when you bowed your head yesterday and said, God, I am so sorry, I guarantee you, Jesus wept. Man, I want to hear that. I love you so much. Can I hear you say amen? Book of Titus, chapter 1. Turn there. Book of Titus, chapter 1. I just want to... Boy, there's something that just really hit me hard. I just started reading this yesterday, and I went back over it this morning, and then I got it back out again this afternoon, read it again. Because every now and then, I'll get a movie that I like to watch. Okay? There are some old movies that I like. Okay? And I'll watch them again. Okay? Now, my wife can't understand that. You watch something and move on. Okay? That's just, we're different about that. If I get something I really like, I just go back over it. Amen? Huh? Same with restaurants. Okay? You get me a dish that I like. That's you, when I walk in, just set it down there because that's what I'm going to get. Amen? Amen. But I did. I read this over and over and over again. Paul, a servant of God and apostle of Jesus Christ. And I don't even have time to get to where it just really started dealing with me. But he said it was according to the faith of God's elect. And I want to tell you something. Don't you? I'm serious as death about this. And this is how the Bible is. The Old Testament is always linked with the New Testament. Okay? You know that deal? Remember that deal in the book of James about faith without works is dead? You know what works is? It's the Old Testament. And faith is the New Testament. And they're not separate from each other, ever. They're never separated one from another. Amen? Amen. Faith without works is dead. Think about that. You cannot have the New Testament without having the Old Testament hooked to it. Okay? That train won't drive right. Amen? Okay? And I'm just telling you that God's sovereignty and God's foreknowledge and his election and his predestination is always hooked in with our faith. And they're never separated from one another. And I want to tell you something. I don't care. There are people who say, well, I go to such and such church. We believe in that once saved, always saved. And really what that, I want to tell you what that is a breeding ground for. And if it's not preached right, that's a breeding ground for a bunch of rebellious Christians or rebellious people who say they're Christians and they're not. It is a breeding ground. I want to tell you, that it was a stumbling block to my dad for years, who was hinging upon when he was 12 years old, going down to the altar and someone telling him he was saved. That was a stumbling block. And he would sit every night and drink his beer. Now, every Sunday, when me and Mom went and Melissa went to church, he would sit home, drink beer, work on the car, go out in the garden, or do whatever. That's how he spent his Sundays. And it was brought up, I don't remember who brought it up to him, but it was brought up to him one time, you know, but well, he said, I was saved when I was 12 years old. That was a stumbling block to him. Yeah. It's wicked to do that. Yeah. Okay? Oh, you pray, you're saved, you're never good. Don't worry about it. Listen, I'm not going to do that with anybody. Amen. Okay? I'm just not going to do it. God is not saving anybody who will not believe. He does not save people who do not believe. And I want to tell you something. Our churches are full of disbelief. full of disbelief, and you can't convince them. According to the faith of God's elect. So notice that faith and election go hand in hand, according to what Paul just said. Faith and election. And to the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness. There it is again. Do you acknowledge the truth? Thy word is what? Okay? There is no some secret inner truth that you must come to. You know, everybody says, well, I'm just trying to find myself. I'm just trying to find myself. And these people get on TV and they get all over the place and they say, we're just trying to help people find that truth that's inside of them. Listen, there's nothing but a bunch of big pack of lies inside of you. Amen? There's no truth hiding inside of you. I'm going to tell you, this right here is the truth. It's the truth for America. It's the truth for Kenya. It's the truth for Russia. It's the truth for South America. It is the truth for the entire world. This Bible is the truth. Amen? Okay? The acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness and hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie. God, everybody say this with me. God cannot lie. Doesn't that feel good? Aren't you glad you got that out? God cannot lie. Okay? Now, try this. Try this and say, you know, put your name in here and say, like, Mike cannot lie. See, that was a lie. Okay? Try that one on. It just doesn't, it doesn't feel right. But when you say, God cannot lie. Amen? God cannot lie. Promised before the world began. And people ask me, why is it you believe the Bible's, you know, just, you know, you still have the real Word of God? Well, God was able to preserve it even before the world began, it was. Verse 3, but hath in due times manifest His Word through how? Preaching, not through gospel concerts. And I'm not against some good gospel singing. Amen? I'm not against that at all. Okay? But I'm telling you, Christian music is a poor substitution for preaching the gospel to get people saved. It is a poor, I don't mind having a gospel concert, having a preacher there to preach the gospel. I don't mind that at all. And I don't care what kind of music it is. If it is not, it is a poor substitute for leading people. It's not the same. God chose the foolishness of preaching to save men's souls. That's how He did. He chose to manifest His Word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. I've got 3 minutes to get to where I wanted to go. To Titus, my own son, after the common faith, grace and mercy and peace from God the Father and Lord Jesus Christ our Savior. For this cause I left thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I appointed thee. If any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly, for a bishop must be blameless as the steward of God. Can I tell you something? I am to blame for things. Okay? How then can I or anybody else be qualified to be a preacher? God, please forgive me. Lay not this sin to my charge. Amen? You know what He's saying? A preacher must have a repentant attitude. As the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre. That's J-O. Okay? He's climbing the money ladder. But a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, that means you can't be drunk in the spirit. Amen? Yes. Amen? Just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word, holding fast the faithful word. What does that sound like to you? If it's faithful, that means it's perfect. And the preachers are supposed to be holding that fast. Yes. Okay? By the way, if you're a lesbian preacherette in a church, you're not holding fast the faithful word. Amen? Holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. Can I tell you one of the ministries that God has laid into Bethel Church? And that is putting a stop to the mouths who are going around subverting whole houses. Okay? I get emails all the time from people saying, you know what? I put my new King James Bible away, and I just went out and bought me a brand new King James Bible, and I just, you know what? I like it better.
Amen.
You know what? Those new King James mouths need to be stopped.
Yes.
They're subverting whole houses.
Yes.
Okay? You know, Pastor Mike, we was in the Word Faith movement. We came out. We decided that was of the devil, and we're not going there no more. We're just going to believe the King. You know, we used to have dreams and visions. We're just going to believe the King James Bible over everything. Amen?
Amen.
That's because mouths kept telling them that they could have God somewhere out here outside of the Bible. And one of the ministries that God has given into this church is to put a stop to mouths that are going around mouthing about every false way except for what can be found in this Bible right here.
Amen.
Okay? And we are seeing people saved, but I'm telling you that by and large, what's happening is people are coming out of false ways because they realize that subversion has moved into their houses. Okay? And they're doing it for filthy lucre's sake. You go into... tell me about it, Gary. Tell me about the bookstore. Did they have my books in there?
No.
Oh.
Well, not a false call.
Oh, okay.
But they had Bibles. They had whatever you wanted. It was there. It's like pick and choose. It's anything you want.
In a bookstore?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I bet they made a lot of money off that.
Yeah.
Okay. That's something when we, I think you were there with me. We went with Pastor Olo there in Nairobi looking for King James Bibles. We walked into a Christian bookstore, and here was Joel here, and Joyce here, and Bishop T.D. here, and Paula White, and Benny Hinton, and they were all there. No King, we could not find a Swahili King James Bible. Could not be found. Verse 12, one of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said the Christians are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. This witness is true, Paul said. I know that I know this guy said it. He said, wherefore rebuke them how? Sharply. God had to teach me about that. Okay? God had to teach me about saying some things in a sharp manner. I like to be Mr. Nice Guy about things. I like to be, well, you know, I really kind of think, you know. But I want to tell you, every now and then when the time's right and I feel like the Spirit is moving, it's going to be sharp, because the Word of God is sharp.
Yes.
Rebuke them sharply, that they may be what? Sound in the faith. Don't be afraid of trying to correct people in their false doctrine. Not giving heed to Jewish fables. Don't follow all this messianic stuff that's floating around. Okay? We're not Jews. God did not call us to be Jews. Amen? Not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. Now, verse 15, here it is right here. This is what really got me. Unto the pure, all things are pure. But unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. Now, this is not a boast, a brag. It's not arrogant. A lot of you, if you've watched me and listened to me and been around me long enough to know, you know my heart. I've just spent an hour telling you what kind of rotten sinner I am, that God did things for me, not because I was just and holy and perfect and everything like that, but He did that for me because He loved me. But one of the things that I know is that I know that all things, which is this Bible right here, I know this Bible is pure. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth purified seven times. I know that this Bible, the words of the Lord, it is pure. It is no defilement in the Bible whatsoever. None. And the reason why I'm able to say that is because Christ has reached down in this old wicked sinner's heart and given me something pure on the inside of me that was never there before. Okay? There's something pure in me that I like. There's a lot of impure things that I don't like. But there's something pure in me that I like, and I hold on to that. That's my salvation and my faith in Jesus Christ and the Holy Ghost in me. That is pure, and it tells me that this Bible is pure as well. You cannot have it both ways. You cannot say the Holy Spirit makes you pure, but the Bible is not. Can't have it that way. And notice what it says about those who say the Bible. And listen. Here's what it sounds like. Well, all the Bibles have mistakes in it. Who's heard someone say that? Raise your hand. Well, see, all the Bibles have mistakes in it. You know what Paul told Titus? Unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. You know what that? The Holy Ghost is spotting them for you. People, I believe in patience with people. I believe you ought to pray for people because God had to bring me out of that mess into this light right here. And God's done it with some other people. Okay? But I'm here to tell you that by and large, when you start hearing whole denominations and ministries saying, well, really, there are no pure Bibles. There is no pure Bible. All the translations have mistakes in it. That might suggest to me that they are defiled and unbelieving. Now, I'm serious as death about this. I've read this three times in the last 2 days and prayed over it. And I'm serious as death about it. Can these guys be brought to the truth? Yes. But I'm afraid that by and large, we've got a bunch of people sitting in churches that, number one, are defiled, and number two, they're unbelievers. And if you're an unbeliever, that's not salvation as far as what I know. If you're an unbeliever, that's not salvation. Anyway, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient unto every good work, reprobate. I think there was a family that was going to come visit us, and I don't think they could make it, and they're going to try again sometime. They said that they were at a church one time, and I don't remember if they said they participated or not. How many of you know Jim Morrison, the rock singer? How many of you remember him? The Doors, Jim Morrison and the Doors. This guy was wicked. I mean, this guy was vile, vile, nasty guy. Okay, died at a very, very young age. And he had a song called The House of the Rising Sun. How many of you know that song? Okay. She said in her church service, they were singing Amazing Grace to the tune of House of the Rising Sun. Listen, that's an abomination as far as I'm concerned. You don't take words and music that have been inspired by satanic, drug-induced fervor and use that in the house of God. You don't do that. That denotes to me that you're defiled and unbelieving. Amen? Amen. We got a lot of work to do, people, yes, as a church, to stop some mouths. Some of you are going, well, why don't you stop now? Well, it will. Let's stand to our feet. I'm stopped right here. Hello, folks. Pastor Mike here. And sometimes you'll hear me talk about during a sermon or a teaching about being saved or salvation. And some people just don't know what that is. And I just want to share with you from the Bible what it means to be saved. The Bible tells us in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm not here as a pastor or here as part of this church because I'm better than anybody. I'm here because I'm a sinner. I have done things that have violated the laws of God, and I need to be sorry for those. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. We all have what's coming to us as a result of our sinfulness and as a result of us breaking God's law. And some people say, well, you know, it says death. Yeah, we're all going to die. But that doesn't necessarily mean hell. The Bible also says the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. See, the Bible teaches, and we teach here in a literal place called hell. We believe in a literal place of joy and peace and eternal life that is in heaven that God gives to those that are saved. But we also believe in eternal hell, a place of everlasting torment to those who reject God's gift of salvation. So we know that we have sinned. We know that the wages of that sin is death. But the Bible says in the same verse, Romans 6:23, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, including me and including you, would believe in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Being saved means being born again and being saved from the wrath of God's judgment upon us, what we deserve, what we have coming as a result of our sinfulness.
So the Bible says in 1 John 1:9 that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, I don't know about you, but one of the greatest things, in fact, the greatest thing that has ever happened to Mike Hoggard is the fact that I confessed my sins to God, and God forgave and still does forgive every one of my sins. Romans 10 says it this way. It says, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. What it means to be saved is that God has cornered you with the result and the things, the effects of your sin in your life. The Holy Spirit is bearing down on your soul right now, and you feel the guilt of Almighty God upon you. And God is trying to make you so that you, just like our parents used to do, God is trying to make you sorry for your sins. We confess those sins to God. We repent of them, which means that we don't want sin to be a part of our life any longer. And we simply ask God, God, you take over the reins in my life and you be the Lord of my life. And you give me the promise of your Holy Spirit in me so that I know that when I die, I'm going to heaven now. And I want you to understand that God offers salvation to you today if you will accept his free gift. Trust in the Lord, repent of your sins. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you watch any of our videos or at some point and God is just dealing with you, you bow your head and you call upon the name of the Lord and ask God to forgive you and ask God to save you. And God promised in his word, and God has never broken his word, God promised in his word that he would forgive you and that he would save you, and heaven would be your eternal home. I hope and pray that one of these days I see you in heaven and you get to see me in heaven. God bless you. Bye-bye.